the aim for the camp really is to bring people together and build kind of a climate movement on the Ireland of Ireland, and to resist Shannon LNG, the Shannon LNG fracked gas terminal, which we believe is our gravest climate threat, which the science tells us is our gravest climate threat. Fracked gas coming into Europe, into Ireland, and God forbid into Germany as LNG. That's the greatest threat we face at the moment.
Why do you say it's the greatest threat? There are a number of others. There's emissions in all sorts of different sectors that are causing us problems. We've just come up with a climate action
plan.
There are, absolutely.
And we don't dispute that. But, I mean, fracked LNG, it's just proven to be, you know, like more than half of all the global fossil fuel increases in the last few years are from fracked shale gas, you know. Conventional extraction doesn't produce these amount of, they're called fugitive methane emissions. You know, you're drilling hundreds and thousands of holes over many hectares. You're drilling down into the bedrock. You're drilling horizontally along the bedrock. Then you're pumping the earth with hydraulic fluids and chemicals to crack the earth, and you're pumping the gas up in these numerous hundreds of thousands of holes. Like, it's the most destructive process that we have ever done. We're literally, like, we're the vein, water is the veins of the earth, and we're slashing our own veins with this, you know. And huge amounts of methane are going into the atmosphere.
Yeah, you're disputing, obviously, or you're not paying any attention to the statement of the prospective developer of this new fortress, who are saying that no fracked gas will be moved through Shannon Energy if it gets built.
Jerry, New Fortress Energy are a company that deals exclusively in fracked gas.
They say they aren't. They don't, and they won't.
They are, and you can't take their reassurances. Their CEO, his nickname on Wall Street is the subprime mortgage king, and we have a political system here where the politicians are masters of playing the local interest against the greater good and against the national interest. And what kind of a political system do we have when one of our councillors is bragging in the media about arranging a private meeting between Leo Varadkar and the subprime mortgage king? I mean,
what's that got to do with anything? Subprime is to do with housing in the United States. That's got nothing to do with energy and the development of LNG, surely.
It's got everything to do with it, because this the LNG market is only for Wall Street. It's only for them to externalise their losses onto other countries, because fracking, as well as the environmental costs, it is the most costly way of producing energy.
Okay, all right.
You're talking billions on hydraulic equipment over vast quantities of land. They're trying to get their money back. These wells aren't even profitable after the first few years. They're trying to get us...
If that's the case, Owen, then why is Germany planning its fifth LNG terminal? They're responding to the crisis that they're in at the moment, and they're going in the direction, with all their concentration on renewable energy and all the concentration on new technologies, they're switching very quickly under a green minister to build five LNG plants. If it's so bad, such a bad deal, make any profit, then why are Germany going that direction, and why aren't we?
Well, they're very misguided in going in that direction, I would say. They're very misguided, and we'll all pay for it, really, if fracked gas comes into Germany, which is one of the biggest markets for gas in the world, you know.
So you're saying Germany have got it badly wrong. They should be going in a different direction.
Very, very badly wrong. Yes, absolutely. And the science, look, the science is out there. They've even said it on their application, and Bord Pleanála have asked them for clarification on this. The fracked LNG, and this isn't even taking into account the fracking. The LNG coming in is 2.5 times the emissions of that coming through the interconnector to us from the UK currently, which is secured with bilateral agreements with the UK. We are the one gas network, and it can't be cut off because of Brexit or some other excuse the politicians make up. Mm.
Well, it can be cut off. Might not be cut off, but there could be supply disruption. That's the concern. The government are planning for that, because there isn't enough. We don't have the capacity. We've no gas storage capacity in the country.
That's not true, Jerry. We have a glut of gas coming in from the North Sea.
Yeah, but the problem is, how do you respond to the concerns that if the Russians turn off the gas, which is a legitimate and realistic prospect.
Just let me finish my point.
If the Russians turn off the gas or turn it down enough into Europe this winter when demand will rise, then the Europeans will be going to the same source that the UK and we get our gas, and that's to Norway. It could put pressure on supply. It certainly will put pressure on price. And all of a sudden, we're in danger, possibly, of supply shortages, but certainly, as we are already, of sky-high prices, which will push ordinary people to the pin of their collars. We don't have any storage. We have no other way of getting gas into the country. And what would you say to the argument that had we built an LNG terminal a number of years ago, we'd be in a much more secure position now heading into the winter? What's your response to that argument?
We wouldn't, because more LNG terminals means more methane going into the atmosphere, and that's not secure. That's the opposite of secure.
Would you concede in the short term, though, for this winter, we would have been more secure?
This hypothetical situation that you're talking about, it's not happening.
But how can you say it's hypothetical when we're just through a period of a couple of weeks where Russia did turn down the level of gas going to Germany under the pretext of technical arrangements on the Nord Stream 1 pipeline?
And it didn't affect our supply one bit. It affected the prices, because the prices are set internationally, but it didn't affect our supply.
What's the alternative, Owen? What's the alternative? If the climate cap, if you're successful and Ireland and this company abandons all plans for LNG, how do we get a secure supply of energy to underpin our electricity grid, particularly in the light of the number of heat pumps we're looking to put in over the next number of years?
Well, we have a secure supply coming in at the moment. That's what the first thing I'll say. And the second thing I'll say is the most urgent, grave danger to our supply is the reckless proliferation of data centres at the moment. I mean, we're really taking the piss with data centres. They're currently 14% of our national grid, and they're set to rise to 30% with all the ones currently in application by 2030. Now, that's absolutely insane. Singapore is the next closest down in the world.
Sure. But the question I asked, and that's another argument, the question I asked is how do we get a secure supply of energy if we're not going down the road of LNG or more fossil fuels? The idea would be to switch to renewables, but the issue of renewables is that when the wind doesn't blow, you can't get a stable supply of energy into the grid to underpin the danger when wind doesn't blow.
That's absolutely true.
The argument is that the technology just isn't there to switch today to tomorrow.
We already have more than enough gas-burning power plants and a secure supply of gas coming in.
If that's the case, then why is the government bringing in, temporary emergency electricity generators, if that's the case?
Because they're recklessly giving out permission to data centres, left, right and centre. They use more than all the rural dwellings in the country at the moment. Mm. That's why we're in trouble.
Okay. And how do you underpin then our technology sector and all the jobs that the high tech sector provides in this country if you don't have data centres?
These data centres don't create much employment.
No, but they underpin the companies that do provide the employment. There's a reason for them, data centres. Well, you have to store people's information. You have to allow companies to work. It's every facet of our lives now. You're saying we reverse all that?
They're storing it in Ireland because they're using Ireland as a tax haven. Most of these countries or these companies pay less than 0%. Our official rate is 12.5, but Wall Street has all these mechanisms. They call them after whiskies, the double Irish and all this. They're not paying tax. That's why they're choosing Ireland. And we have way more than our fair share here. And you're talking about jobs and what jobs they bring. You know, the few jobs they do bring, great, but why should we build our prosperity on the backs of, you know, other people's exploitation, you know?
Okay.
When global corporations are putting their African and Middle Eastern headquarters, not just their European headquarters, in Ireland, we've gone somewhere wrong completely.
Okay.
You know?
Owen, tell me, finally, Future Generations Kerry, you're part of the climate camp. What is Future Generations Kerry and what do you hope to achieve this week?
Well, we hope to send a strong message out to on board Planala and to the government. And we hope to, like, you know, bring local people in. We've had local people coming up. We've had great conversations. We've been down the village, and many other things. We've got workshops on all kinds of stuff, you know. We've got everything from Irish language to regenerative agriculture to, you know, direct action techniques. So it's really open for everybody. It's a family friendly event, you know. So
sure.
Anybody who's around, come down.
Can head down to Saline Pier.
Welcome.
Okay, and listen. Finally, you're from Listowel. You're saying, you know, you've talked to local people. What do you say to the locals to say, look, this has been, you know, decades of broken promises for some level of development on what is a huge natural resource, the land bank along the deep water port there. And Shannon in Tarbert Ballylong, for that nothing has been done, things need to be done, and people are just desperate for jobs. What's your response to those local people who feel that you're pushing back and that you're doing the wrong thing, that development should be allowed to happen?
I say to them, look, these politicians are like, they're really playing with you, and they're playing the local interests against the national interest and against the greater good. And look, there's no easy answer to, you know, everybody wants prosperity, but we can't build our prosperity on the backs of other people's suffering, you know. And like, this won't even be good for, you know, you have a few extra pounds in your pocket, a few construction jobs for a year. What good is that going to do? Like, Ballylongford is one of the most at-risk villages for flooding in the next few years in the country, you know, with rising sea levels. So, I mean, what good is a few extra quid in your pocket when this is happening and we have global crop failures?
Mm.
You're not going to be able to get food in the supermarket. I mean, we really have to be thinking, like, beyond, you know, this Christmas, beyond our short-term needs, you know,
okay.
Which isn't easy to do all the time because, you know, we're caught in the rat race. But hopefully, you know, we can provide a space here at the climate camp where, you know, this kind of thinking ahead can be facilitated.